The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good evening, toasters and toquettes, and welcome. It is Monday, August 13th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're glad you could be here. We've got all sorts of news and information to bring to you on today's show. Let's get right to it on this busy week. We start by our introductions. We got Wiz Khalifa hanging out here over in the director chair there.
Aloha. I am here hanging out. And the Raiders play tonight on Monday Night Football, so I'm pretty stoked.
Oh, boy. It's football season coming up. All right.
That's
right. Good time with that. Also, we've got over here in the co-host chair, we've got Brian the Red hanging out with us. Hi, Brian.
Hey, hey. Football, that's the little round one, right, with the black and white on it?
There you go.
Yes, the football. Yes.
The football.
Yes, me likes the football.
And in our virtual studio in Grass Story, we've got Cannabis Carrie hanging out. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, guys. Happy Monday. Made it through another warm August weekend.
Yeah. Are you going through Olympics withdrawal?
You know, a little bit. I had to turn off the closing ceremonies yesterday. It's making me too sad.
Aw, well.
4 more years, though. Get to do it all over again, this time in Rio. Should be a good time.
Should be a good time. Well, Carrie's got our news headlines, which we do every day in our daily Cannabis Chronicle. What's in the news today?
I do. I have one cool story that I don't hear a lot about mayors using their veto power. But unfortunately, I have a story about that today coming from the Midwest. Also, we've got two different stories highlighting some issues with medical marijuana, one from California and one from Colorado. I'll tell you about those as well coming up in today's Cannabis Chronicles.
All right. Looking forward to it, Carrie. And then after the break, we've got our daily Toker Tunes. And on Mondays, we do Roots Monday music, which is blues, jazz, folk, and country. Today, I'm going to go back to the master himself, Cab Calloway, and his orchestra. We're going to play a little bit of Reefer Man to get us ready for this busy week that's coming up here. Also on today's show, at 5:30, we're going to Arkansas to speak with Ryan Denham. He's the campaign manager of Arkansans for Compassionate Care, and it looks like he's been successful in getting medical marijuana put on the ballot in the state of Arkansas. First time a southern state will be voting on medical marijuana. We'll talk to him at 5:30. And then at 5:45, you know, this week is Hemp Fest week. We are getting ready to head out to Seattle for the Seattle Hemp Fest 21st annual. And so today's rant, I'm going to talk a little bit about Seattle Hemp Fest and give you my take on their neutrality toward I-502 legalization. So all that and more is coming up on today's Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us. And when we come back, we'll have the Daily Cannabis Chronicles with Cannabis Carrie. Stick around.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show. Rock on, Wisconsin. Marijuana's not going to re-legalize itself. You've got to do your part. Join the National Cannabis Coalition today at nationalcannabiscoalition.com. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis. The topic of marijuana is heating up the news, and the Russ Belville Show catches you up with today's latest headlines. Now, here's our senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie, with the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
I don't hear about mayoral vetoes very often, but we have a story about that happening today. The Galesburg City Council in Illinois voted on a marijuana decriminalization ordinance on August 6th. They wanted to give the police an option of writing tickets for less than 2.5 grams of marijuana instead of arresting them and hauling them off for a mountain of paperwork. The 7-member council also wanted to amend the current fine for possession of marijuana from $500 to $300 and even had the foresight to put into language that if marijuana was legalized, the ordinance would no longer be enforceable. The vote was close. They split 4-3, but passed the new cannabis law reform ordinance for the city of Galesburg, Illinois. But the mayor also has a vote on council business. The mayor gets to reserve to hold his vote for up to 5 days. So Galesburg Mayor Sal Garza announced on Friday that he will veto this measure instead of vote. And he also recommended stronger language before he approved any kind of measure. Mayor Garza says his fears are that marijuana use is not being deterred with the new ordinance, especially among the youth of Galesburg. He said he would like the council to rewrite the ordinance and include in it that anyone under 18 caught with marijuana in any amount would have to complete an assessment and education for youth violators. He would like the fines for marijuana crimes to be adjusted to pay for such a youth education program. Now, if someone under 18 gets caught with marijuana and does not complete the program, the mayor would like to see additional fines and charges. Mayor Garza thinks that this is an important part of cannabis law reform so that young first-time offenders will be helped to not repeat the offense. Now, that ordinance has been successfully vetoed. A newly crafted ordinance can be reconsidered by the council at their next meeting, which will be held on September 3rd. And upon reconsideration, they will now need 2/3 of the council, or 5 out of the 7 votes, to favor the measure for it to pass. If they don't get those 5 votes, Mayor Garza's veto will stand.
All right. So this originally came down to a 4-3 vote. So basically they would need one person to change their vote to override this veto. Of course, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about the city politics out there in Illinois. It doesn't sound like it's likely to happen. But, you know, it's kind of frustrating when you hear about these vetoes and you hear about, you know, how many steps it takes. And we're just talking about a city here. We're not even talking about legalizing in an entire state, not even talking about legalizing, just reducing the penalties just a little bit. Just turning to the people of the city and saying, you know, maybe instead of really slapping these people down hard for marijuana, maybe we got to ease up a little bit. But even trying to get something like that passed is just so difficult sometimes. And it depends on where you're at. In Illinois, they don't have the initiative process, so it's going through the city council like this, and sounds like a pretty reasonable proposition here. But so many people are still steeped into that reefer madness that they can't see a reasonable proposition when it's, you know, right there in front of them. They're just taught, you know, marijuana bad, and so anything that talks about it is something they automatically have to oppose. I'm kind of surprised, though, you know, given that Mayor Rahm Emanuel in Chicago has kind of led the way in showing that, you know, decriminalization is good for that city and helping to reduce costs there, why it would be such a, you know, a third rail for these politicians in another smaller Illinois city. You'd think they'd have a little bit of political cover with this. But again, you know, it takes a lot of steps. We're just going to have to keep moving forward, city by city, state by state, vote by vote, veto by veto. But eventually we're going to win out because we've got truth, facts, logic, reason, science, and compassion on our side. Remember?
And we have a story from the Fresno Bee about some residents in Fresno that are claiming that marijuana production in their area has turned their dreams of country living into a nightmare. Carl and Maggie Huddleston claim that a nearby legal marijuana growing operation has led to a decline in the value of their property. She also says she moved to the country 6 years ago and now fears the safety of her neighborhood. A man was shot and killed while guarding a marijuana grow site a half a mile from her house last year. She says people in rural areas around grow sites are under more danger because the response time from police is so much longer. She says that Prop 215 that was passed over a decade ago is now out of control. Fresno County Sheriff's Lieutenant Rick Coe, who oversees marijuana eradication for his unit, says that it is drug traffickers who compile dozens of medical marijuana recommendation letters and post them next to rows and rows of marijuana plants, so even a suspiciously large grow requires time-consuming investigation of a month or longer just to get search warrants to conduct a raid. He says that he gets 6 or 7 complaints a day about marijuana growing operations. Meanwhile, the Huddlestons of Fresno County, they say they have no recourse and want to know why authorities let these grow sites flourish.
All right. Well, first of all, boo-hoo for law enforcement that you actually have to put some investigative time into trying to figure out who's healthy enough to bust for growing cannabis plants. Aw. The problem that we've got here, and I'd to speak to these residents out here, because really, I do feel for you. I do have sympathy for what these rural folks are dealing with. You know, I grew up in rural Idaho, and a lot of the reason why people want to go move out to the country, they want to have their big expanse of land. They don't want to have to deal with the problems and the headaches of the more urban areas. And they just want to live a kind of a safe, mind their own business kind of lifestyle, right? And so then when they've got these people with their marijuana collectives and growing, rows and rows of marijuana plants, and when they hear stories of guys guarding them with towers and massive amounts of lights and huge razor wire fences and guys with, guns that are standing guard on that, they're rightfully frightened and they're rightfully kind of jolted out of their idyllic country lifestyle. But if I could speak to them, if I would just tell them, the problem is you haven't gone far enough with legalization. You're not worried. Nobody in rural Fresno County has an issue with, Budweiser, growing lots of these hop plantations and guarding them with, razor wire and guns, right? You don't have the vineyards of Napa Valley don't have guys with guns that are guarding them, right? It's the prohibition that is springing up around you. It's not Prop 215 that's the problem in that it lets sick people be able to cultivate marijuana and use it to help themselves. It's that it didn't go far enough, and a prohibition still exists on that same product that makes it more than worthwhile for people to slip in any way they can under that medical use law to try to conceal their commercial activities. It's just bound to happen. You can't repeal the law of supply and demand. That's just the way it works. Medical marijuana doesn't go far enough, and in not going far enough, it attributes all of the ills of prohibition to the baby steps taken in legalization. We need to point out to people that what you're afraid of, the guy with the gun out there guarding the marijuana crops, it's not the plant that's any harm to you. If it were just a field of marijuana plants growing there, there wouldn't be an issue. It's that field of marijuana plants is so artificially restricted to the mass majority of people that want to consume it, that it makes it worth 10 to 100 times more than it's really worth. It makes it so scarce that it's worth going after it, worth ripping it up, worth going past security cameras and risking guys shooting at you to make that profit. So, people of Fresno, when you make these complaints to law enforcement, you should always be following it up with, please make this legal so legal farms can be registered and zoned and put in places that aren't interfering with our country lifestyle.
A Colorado medical marijuana dispensary is being named as the source of an illegal multi-state marijuana distribution ring. Colorado attorney John Southers announced he has obtained a 59-count indictment against 11 people for running a distribution ring of black market sales of marijuana obtained from the Silver Lizard dispensary in Denver. It also includes 11 separate violations of the Colorado Organized Crime Control Act. Now, the group is being accused of using the U.S. mail along with driving hundreds of pounds of Colorado medical marijuana to sell it in Arizona, Florida, Massachusetts, and Ohio, as well as selling medical marijuana into the black market in-state. Leon Cisneros, who is listed as a member in the group in the indictment, is the dispensary's manager. He is also accused of failing to pay $16,000 in taxes owed from legal medical marijuana sales and falsifying documents to cover his crimes. The document says that the crimes go back as far as 2008. Now, it was issued this morning. It says that between January and May, just of this year, one member of the group received more than 40 pounds of marijuana to sell into the black market in Cincinnati. The Colorado Attorney General took the opportunity to say that this is just another example of diversion from the medical marijuana industry. In a statement this morning, Southers said that it was, quote, becoming clear that, as predicted in 2010 legislative hearings, Colorado is becoming a significant exporter of marijuana to the rest of the country. Now, a recent study urged by Attorney General Southers by the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Team gathered data about medical marijuana being diverted to criminal enterprises. They found about 70 instances since new regulation guidelines were enacted in January of 2010 that surrounding states seized marijuana that they think was originally Colorado medical marijuana. Most of those cases involved traffic stops on major highways in surrounding states that where they confessed to police that the marijuana found was from a Colorado dispensary. There were a few other cases that involved Craigslist ads. Now, Brian Vicente of Colorado says that this is such a tiny portion of the over 1 million legal medical marijuana transactions that go on in Colorado. And he says that the 2012 numbers are smaller than the 2010 numbers of incidents. He thinks the problem is getting better with better regulation.
Oh, absolutely. It's getting better. And here's the other situation. I love it how, you know, when it comes to trying to determine whether or not someone's breaking an interstate commerce clause, marijuana's fungible. Gosh, we just can't tell medical marijuana from regular marijuana. But when it comes to the cops wanting to make a scare story about medical marijuana, oh, they can tell you exactly where that weed came from. Oh, yeah, that came from medical. Now, I did catch the part in the story where Kerry said some people had admitted to getting into dispensaries. And I'm not here to dispute that it's highly likely that in a medical marijuana state that a few people are going to take advantage to try to exploit that loophole to try to, you know, make profit on the black market. You know, underline, highlight, boldface, and italicize everything I said in the last story for this story. And again, it's because we don't go far enough. It's because there still exists illegal marijuana in all these other states that are nearby Colorado that makes Colorado a source for getting marijuana to them. It's just inevitable. It's going to happen. It's the law of supply and demand. But that is not an argument for continuing to throw people in a cage over their use of a non-toxic, relatively harmless herb. Whether or not more people use it, whether or not it gets more traffic to other states is irrelevant. It's wrong to throw us in a cage for smoking weed.
And we have one more story about a Denver ban on advertising. The Denver City Council is looking at banning marijuana advertising billboards and sign spinners for medical marijuana dispensaries. Now, many in the industry support this ban and say that the sign spinners with psychedelic billboards, free joint promises, and touting super potent marijuana strains sends the wrong message about the industry. But of course, other insiders of the medical marijuana trade feel that a ban on advertising goes too far in limiting legal Colorado businesses to compete for new customers. Now, the issue is on the agenda for a city council meeting tomorrow. This is not the first time that the advertising issue has been brought up. They've been going over this, Russ, since 2010. And when they come up with a new ordinance on advertising bans, I'll bring it to you right here on your Cannabis Chronicles.
Yeah, okay, so medical marijuana business can't hire someone to hold a sign and spin it on the corner, but Little Caesars can? Little Caesars Pizza can, right? And we can't have people, it would be a terrible thing if people had to see someone with a pot leaf sign on a corner, but the guy standing on the freeway off ramps with the pathetic signs about how their life has turned bad, who want just any piece of change will help. That's First Amendment rights. I mean, you're dancing in some, you know, kind of sketchy territory here, Denver City Council, because we are talking about First Amendment rights for businesses. If we're going to have advertising bans on medical marijuana, on a medicine, mind you, that people have the right to use in Colorado, I want to see that Coors Field. I want to see that come down. I want to see these alcohol billboards coming down. I want to see more restrictions on tobacco advertising. I want all tobacco companies to have to place their cigarettes in plain white packages with black lettering and the whole back of it completely filled with, you know, black scarred lungs. I mean, let's just have some consistency here. If we can't be sending a bad message through advertising for drugs, let's apply it to the worst drugs in this society.
It's 420 back in Idaho, where Russ and Carrie were born. So we have to go connect with our roots. You know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, have you ever? All right, when we come back, it's time for some Roots Monday music with Cab Calloway, the original Reefer Man. And then at half past, we got Ryan Denham from Arkansas for Compassionate Care getting medical marijuana passed in the South. We'll talk to him about it half past. Stick around.
Then you know you're talking to that Reefer Man.
I don't like it personally, but it's time for a conversation about legalizing marijuana. It's a multi-million dollar industry in Washington State, and we get no benefit. What if we regulate it? Have background checks for retailers, stiff penalties for selling to minors. We could tax it to fund schools and healthcare, free up police to go after violent crime instead. And we would control the money, not the gangs. Let's talk about a new approach, legalizing and regulating marijuana.
Do you really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join the National Cannabis Coalition at nationalcannabiscoalition.com, where your donations directly support PotNet and the Russ Belville Show. Free speech ain't free, you know. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Well, folks, when you think about reefer jazz, one name always comes to mind, and that is the great Cab Calloway, whose musical career spanned six decades. Of course, I always remember the first time I saw Cab Calloway was in the Blues Brothers movie when he played the mentor to Jake and Elwood. But his career goes all the way back to the 20s. He was one of the big band leaders back in the day, and pretty much along with Louis Armstrong, you know, two of the biggest figures to introduce the marijuana culture to the mainstream. And he's known as the Heidi Ho Man. He played with the Cotton Club Orchestra for years and years and broke through in film, was beloved by all. And even through all of that, had, you know, songs like Minnie the Moocher, using terms that were coded drug slang that a lot of the mainstream culture didn't get, but a lot of the hip cats on the inside understood exactly what was going on. One such song, come later in Cab Calloway's career, refers to smoking reefers. And since we hadn't heard this one very often, it's a fairly recent addition to the library, I thought I'd bring it up on today's Roots Monday. So here he is, Cab Calloway with the Cotton Club Orchestra and Smoking Reefers.
Oh, wee cigarette, we must all depend on marijuana. Oh, once begin it, and you're sure to end on marijuana. It's the kind of stuff all the dreams are made of. Thing that white folks are afraid of. Up in Harlem we go, a marijuana jazz. get beyond the worrying. Go away, go away, worry. Go blow away, blow away. Must wake up and work in the morning. Must get by the brooding at night. You can't change this world you were born in. But I declare, you can be walking on air. Helping you to fling away your worrying and your troubles.
Dear Dad, how should I say this? You know how you enjoy a drink after work? Well, in many ways, I'm just like you. I have a good job, I work hard, but when I get home, I prefer to relax with marijuana instead of alcohol. They're a little similar, but marijuana is actually less damaging to my health, and frankly, I don't feel like crap the next day. I hope this makes sense, but if not, let's talk.
You have reached the answering machine of the Libra Lounge. For replays of the lounge, please press thelibralounge.com or ncr420.com. To hear Mr. Libra's latest history lesson, press 2. And finally, press 3 if you've got something to say, bitches.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, folks. In the many years that I've been doing this show in various incarnations, I've gotten to speak to our next guest a few times, and I couldn't be more proud to have him on the show today. Ryan Denham from Arkansas is from Compassionate Care. How you doing, Ryan?
What's up, Russ? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, so glad to have you here with such great news. I won't spoil it at all. Tell people what you have to announce for the state of Arkansas.
So we've been working pretty hard for over a year on a medical marijuana initiative here in Arkansas. And we turned in over 74,000 signatures today. This was our second phase of the turn-in. The first phase, we turned in about 68,000 signatures, and we came up short about 26,000. So we needed to get 26,000. We turned in 74,000. That's almost tripled of what we need.
Yeah.
So we're feeling very confident. We actually did validate the signatures before we turned them in, so we know we have plenty of valid signatures. And we look forward to putting this on the ballot and giving our Kansans the chance to vote on this important issue.
And how many total signatures were needed?
Total, we needed 62,507, and gross, all together, what we turned in with both turn-ins was about 140,000 plus signatures.
Yes, so well over double what you needed.
Absolutely.
That's outstanding work. Now, how did you manage to get those signatures put together? Was this all grassroots effort? Did you have professional signature gatherers? What's the story there?
Yeah, I mean, it started out grassroots, and, you know, we started working with the Marijuana Policy Project. We were grateful to have funding from them. Arkansas is, to be honest with you, Arkansas is kind of a rough state to canvass in. We're not an open access petition state, so you can't get signatures in front of Walmart or most strip malls. So it's difficult to even find a place to get signatures.
Where do you have to get signatures from if you can't do it like in front of the public square is what it is.
Sure. I mean, we all ought to be on public sidewalks and some state buildings. So DMVs, courthouses. We went to farmers markets and nightlife areas. We did some ninja canvassing at grocery stores and things like that. So it was difficult, but yeah, if we didn't have the money before the paid canvassers, I don't think we would have gotten this far unless we would have started, much earlier.
Yeah. All right. So Arkansas, of course, how much more time, when will we know for certain from the Secretary of State's office that this is going to make the ballot?
We'll probably know in about 6 to 10 days. There were 5 other initiatives that started off here in Arkansas for other issues, and it looks like there's only one still in the that even has a chance, and even their chances look pretty slim. So I think that actually in this race, we've really kind of impressed a lot of other politicos and people involved in politics that understand how well we have this thing organized and how hard we worked and how much people care about medical marijuana. So yeah, we've definitely changed minds just in the process itself.
Yeah, and how has that gone, changing the hearts and minds? Because, of course, people listening to our show are big supporters of, full-on marijuana legalization, but you got a campaign down there in the Bible Belt where, the cultural values on marijuana are, right up there with heroin. How did you make the argument to people in Arkansas?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far to say the whole majority of our Kansas think that way. And, for those who haven't been to Arkansas, it is a pretty reasonable state. I think people... I mean, this is an agrarian state. Agriculture is one of our biggest industries here. I think a lot of people look at corruption in politics and look at prohibition and almost kind of see through it. So I think, once we're able to frame the issue and put the patients out there, the patients with compelling stories, a lot of people just got it. And, we just got done doing a press conference here right after our turn-in. We had an amazing press conference. We had a city attorney's wife from Fayetteville speak about her lymphoma battle and how she used medical marijuana, had to break the law and feel like a criminal and put her husband's job in jeopardy.
Right.
We had a Air Force veteran who had a 500-pound bomb that fell on him while he was loading it, and he also suffers from PTSD. This guy is also a former police officer in Arkansas. We had a woman who survived breast cancer. And when you hear stories like that, it's almost hard not to support this. And that's really what we've been doing. We've been educating our Kansans about medical marijuana. Obviously, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I think we've done a pretty good job of explaining, why this is a sound policy.
Yeah, we're speaking with Ryan Denham from Arkansas. It's from Compassionate Care. If you want to help out, they could still use help. Go to arcompassion.org for more information. And we got people in the chat room that are, very interested in this, and we're questioning on some of the details as far as, possession, cultivation, qualifying conditions, and so forth.
Sure. Okay, do we have a specific question?
Yeah. Can you give us the details on that as far as the...
Sure. So we allow for, this is similar to what Arizona passed in 2010. We allow for 2.5 ounces every 2 weeks. We have 15 conditions that are allowed for. We added PTSD that was not in Arizona's. We added fibromyalgia that was not in Maine's law, which is also similar to this law. We, cap the dispensaries off at 30 dispensaries for the entire state. The polling that we did suggested that, our Kansans are very concerned about dispensaries and that, we believe that this could kind of be a deal breaker if we didn't regulate them and kind of lock them down a little more. We did have to make some compromises, and I think ultimately we have a solid law that has enough protections for patients, but does have enough safeguards to keep the public at ease. We allow cities and counties to ban dispensaries. If a city and county does ban a dispensary, then, patients are still protected. They would be allowed to grow medical marijuana in their house. It's 6 plants. We have the we lowered the radius limit. Arizona had the 25 mile not radius, 25 mile limit from a dispensary,
right,
before you could grow your own. We lowered that to 5. I thought that was a good compromise. I wasn't exactly too thrilled about really having that in there in the first place.
And for folks that may not have heard of that before, what we're talking about here is if you were a patient and you lived within 5 miles of a dispensary, you would not be able to grow at home. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And, what we found is, our Kansans are concerned about, a lot of people growing medical marijuana behind closed doors and the dispensaries. So, you know, I think this may be a close vote, and, you know, I think people need to understand that sometimes you do have to make compromises to get things done. But ultimately, this will, you know, change the significant policy here in the South. And I believe, you know, we could be, I mean, I know you probably hear this a lot, but I believe, you know, this could really kind of be a tipping point in a way.
Oh, yeah.
There are no medical marijuana states. You know, we're going to beat New York, we're going to beat Texas, Georgia, Illinois. And, you know, honestly, a lot of people think Arkansas would have been, you know, I would have thought Arkansas would have been one of the last states to get something like this done. So I think we'll be sending a really strong message and setting an example for some of the other states across the country that have not enacted policy.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of California voting down Prop 19 when they said even California voted against legalization. Well, now we'll be able to say even Arkansas supports medical.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be great.
And, you know, one thing I wanted to add in, you know, since California passed Prop 19 in 1996 and, you know, the other 16 states that have passed this, it's kind of, we've kind of been shown that the polling has dropped in Arkansas for medical marijuana since then. So before a lot of these states passed medical marijuana, you know, before, you know, I don't know, 8 or 9 states that passed medical marijuana, the polling was higher. And so, you know, it kind of almost looks like some of these states that have really loose policy has kind of hurt public support here in Arkansas, and I think we're starting to make up for that now by, you know, educating Arkansans about the legitimacy of medical marijuana and how our law is regulated. I think they really do want to hear that our law is regulated as framed by the state. You know, California doesn't have any statewide regulation for dispensaries, and you know, this is going to have statewide regulation right off the bat.
And it is, we are kind of seeing an evolution where, you know, there's West Coast medical marijuana and East Coast medical marijuana. And I think you've found a good compromise point in that you at least still have the right to home grow. I think that's so important for patients. So I'm glad that you fought hard for that.
Absolutely.
Let me get to one other point I wanted to know. You said you had the press conference today, and I was just wondering, has this slipped under the radar in Arkansas, or have the local news media been saying, watch out, medical marijuana is coming?
Yeah, I mean, we did kind of try to, I mean, we weren't seeking media attention, to be honest with you, during this entire campaign. However, we didn't ignore it. So we responded to inquiries. You know, I think we had maybe 80 press hits over a year and a half or 2 years. So, I mean, we have had a fair amount of press, but, you know, there's still, I mean, we're a rural state, but still a lot of people didn't know about it. We are starting to really build that traction right now, and you know, so many people know about the campaign. So, I mean, you know, we weren't trying to hide, but, you know, we were trying to fly under the radar just a little bit so we could, you know, get the ground running without any serious opposition, basically.
Now, of course, 2012 is shaping up to be a huge electoral year as far as marijuana politics goes. We've got legalization votes pending in Washington, Oregon, and Colorado, which are all some of the pioneering medical marijuana states. Does that become one of the sticking points with the opponents of saying, see, they passed medical and now they're trying to legalize? Do they use that against you?
I think that may come up. I mean, you know, obviously, I think the drug war in general has serious issues, and you know, I'm not trying to get my personal opinions out here right now during this campaign. But, you know, if the public wants to have a discussion about further drug policy, I think we should have that discussion. But what the public should understand, what Arkansans should understand, that this is just about medical marijuana. You know, if people want to look into decriminalization or full legalization later, that's our choice as citizens. And, you know, I think that's what, you know, Oregon and Colorado and Washington are doing now. So I don't see it as really a stepping stone towards legalization when we talk to, you know, opponents of the media. But I think it's a discussion that we should be allowed to have.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, as on the medical marijuana aspect of this, as you know, some other details that people are curious of, you mentioned Arizona style. Arizona's got a registry system, and a registry system that's all online, the first state to have done that. Will patients, you know, have a registry card system that they'll be using in Arkansas?
There will be a medical marijuana card that will be issued. I'm not exactly familiar with the exact details of what Arizona has done, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, the Arizona Department of Health did was kind of fill in the blanks. You know, I mean, you submit a 13-page law, but you still can't cover all the details. And so they have to come in.
Yeah.
They can't really contradict what you've said, but they have to kind of expand on what you said. So I think, you know, it's a possibility we may have something like that, but there are definitely is a registry system, and the Department of Health will oversee that and issue cards to patients.
How about reciprocity for the other, you know, state legal medical marijuana patients who might visit Arkansas? Will their cards be any good?
Yes, we do allow for out-of-state medical marijuana patients. So that was something I was happy to include in the law.
Now, another thing that we get in Arkansas, of course, I think of the fact that the Walmart Corporation is headquartered there, and has a big footprint in the state of Arkansas. Has there been any word from them on how they feel about this, or their employees perhaps becoming patients?
Walmart's one of the biggest, I think the biggest employer in the ways of the world or the country, besides the U.S. government employees. We've talked to employees, nothing really no one really that high up. So I don't expect Walmart to support this or come out in any way. But I think, many of the employees would, it'd be a positive thing, for their healthcare to come out. There's other large companies that we're going to try to approach, other people that own large companies that I think could be approachable for support and, donations.
As the most recent medical marijuana acts have been passed over the past, 2-3 years, they've gotten a lot better with respect to anticipating some of the discrimination that patients will face, things like driving and, child, custody issues, being able to get on organ transplant lists or go to school or live in certain housing. Does this bill cover some of those things?
Yes, it covers, you can't be denied visitation to a minor. You can't lose your public housing. You can't be fired from your job if you test positive for a marijuana test if you have, the medical marijuana card. It does cover some of those. And, these are some problems that we've learned. We've learned from the problems of some of these early medical marijuana laws and made a more, medical marijuana 2.0 kind of law where it addresses some of these problems right at the beginning.
All right, Ryan. Well, it sounds really great, and we are so excited now. There's, four states looking at medical marijuana: North Dakota, Massachusetts, Montana's got its referendum, and now Arkansas, first state in the South, looks like it'll be voting on medical marijuana. ARCompassion.org is the website. Ryan Denham's a campaign manager, and Ryan, thanks again for joining us. Love talking to you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Russ. Appreciate it.
All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at Robert Platshorn's Should Grandma Smoke Pot? Back after this.
Simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Who would you rather your kids talk to about drugs? You? Or some guy? When your kids find out you've been lying to them about marijuana, who will they trust? Let's have a rational discussion about drug reform. Let's tax and regulate marijuana, restrict youth access, and create safer communities.
Should grandma smoke pot?
There's sort of a sea change going on in this nation, and it has to do with marijuana.
Cannabis or marijuana worked better than the drugs and the narcotics I was getting.
Cannabis has been a medicine now for about 3,000 years. In the United States, it only hasn't been a medicine for the past 70 years.
We have yet to find a serious medical consequence related to marijuana
smoking. Just one more question. Somewhat to my surprise, we have not found serious health consequences in approximately $20 million of research in the last 5 years.
Public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse.
It's worked for me. It saved my life.
Irv Rosenfeld, who's gotten medical marijuana from the federal government.
I get it shipped to me once every 25 days.
The whole time I was in prison.
In the United States, it's illegal for a person to use it. Why aren't doctors allowed
to study it.
The incidence of Alzheimer's in individuals who were smoking marijuana in the 1960s are not getting Alzheimer's today at the rate that they should be. They're sort of standing out.
There's certainly some evidence that it's helping some people treat their psychoses. Certainly epilepsy, certainly anxiety.
The pharmaceutical industry is ripping us off, and I think that's a disgusting thing to do to the population.
My son's taken 25,000 pills and he's 5 years old. Well, things have changed since I started using medical cannabis. When he looks in my eyes and I tell him, give me a kiss, he can give me a kiss now. Can you imagine your kid not giving you a kiss?
I would take out half of the drugs in my prescription book if I could write for medical marijuana.
I took a puff for the first time in my life, and from that time on, I have felt as if I had something to help me keep control. It's a whole new world. It gave me hope.
People who use marijuana are not criminals. The real criminals are people who are opposing legislative and social change.
We're more apt in this country to cut our teachers and our educational system than our law enforcement system for something that has been proven to not harm a single soul.
It's a plant. This is a plant. This is America, a free country. We are locking up people for growing a plant.
I think this would be a benefit in lowering heart attack risk, cancer risks.
There's two plants that people like to smoke. The first, of course, is tobacco. Causes cancer, COPD, emphysema. The other is cannabis. It's the oldest medicine known to man, and today it's used in the treatment of dozens of different conditions. Tobacco's legal, marijuana's illegal. Does that make sense to you?
It gave me hope. I'm sure I'm not alone.
Polls show that 74% of Americans favor legalizing medical marijuana. A handful of $50 donors can air this show two more times. That will pay for four more airings, and then eight, and so on until Grandma has been seen by millions. With your support, we can air Grandma hundreds of times on regional and even national TV. I urge you, contribute what you can. $25 partners will get my heartfelt thanks and this beautiful silver tour pin. If you can contribute $50 or more, you'll get my pin and the DVD of this show to share with everyone. $200 partners will get my pin, the show DVD, and a signed copy of my memoir, Black Tuna Diaries. Contributing $500 or more can actually pay for two airings of Grandma on regional TV and earn you this beautiful pin, a DVD of the show, a signed copy of my book, and a signed copy of the hit movie Square Grouper that tells my story. Please go to thesilvertour.org and become my partner right now, or send a check today to the address on your screen. Together, we can bring about change in less time than you can possibly imagine.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant. All right, welcome back, folks. Hope you enjoyed that video from our good friend Robert Platshorn, silvertour.org. Please check it out. You know, I was thinking about Robert today because I got my announcement for, or I got my times for my speaking gigs, my speaking engagements at the Seattle Hemp Fest this weekend. So if you got a pen ready and you want to write down the times, or you can check them out on our calendar at ncr420.com. I will be speaking on Friday and I will be speaking on Sunday. So on Friday, you can catch me 3:40 p.m. from the McWilliams stage. And on Sunday, I will be speaking at 2:50 p.m. from the Sealy stage. And of course, we'll have that all Twittered out. You know, just follow RB Show 420 for all of the updates when we're out there at Seattle Hemp Fest. We're going to be streaming live all 3 days right here at ncr420.com. So make sure you check it out. We've got a booth at the Stoned Garden. We should be on the right side, you know, the side away from the water, in that stoned circle area, that center area near the main stage of Seattle Hemp Fest. So we hope to see you there. And if you can't make it, then join us on our online stream, ncr420.com. And I was thinking about Robert because when you get the speakers list, it's a spreadsheet of everybody who's going to be speaking at Seattle Hemp Fest, which is also going to include Jill Stein, Dr. Jill Stein, the Green Party presidential candidate, and Judge Jim Gray, the Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate, will be there as well. But I'm reading through, and of course, there's Robert Platshorn's name with 4 different speaking slots he was committed to for Seattle Hemp Fest. And it looks as though, and he's still fighting for this, folks, but it looks as though Bobby Tuna won't be there at Seattle Hemp Fest. He's got this new probation officer, new parole officer, who's all gung-ho and forbidding him to travel out of the South Florida district that he's in and forbidding him from traveling specifically for any sort of marijuana legalization. The parole officer said something to the effect of, in light of what you were convicted of, we can't have you traveling around the country trying to promote marijuana legalization, right? So they're basically trying to you know, keep Bobby Platshorn's message silent because they know how effective it would be with seniors. And if it's effective with seniors, we know that we're going to get better votes for marijuana legalization because they are the ones that actually go out and vote. And the sad story about this, now Bobby's shopping this around, this article around, and I don't want to give too much away, but he sent me some pictures as well to confirm this, in that, you know, Bobby spent a lot of time on boats in Florida area during the 70s, right? And we didn't do sunscreen back then, right? So Bobby's had problems with some melanomas that are popping up, some skin cancers from the many years of being under the UV rays, right? And as these were coming up, his former parole officer that he was working with, he would show his former parole officer how he was using hemp oil to treat these cancers, and it was causing these melanomas to recede and go into remission. And his parole officer was also struck with a cancer. I think it was a stomach cancer. And, you know, he said, wow, it's amazing what miraculous, you know, this is how this is miraculously working for your skin and everything. And when Bobby suggested he should try it for his cancer, of course, he said, no, I can't, because I'm a parole officer, blah, blah, blah. Guy ends up dying. And now the guy who's replaced his parole officer is Mr. Gung-ho that won't let Robert Platshorn travel. Now, of course, this cuts down about 85% of his income because he makes so much of his income from selling books and doing presentations and speaking fees. So here's a guy that did 29 years in prison for marijuana prohibition and upon getting out is threatened with the rest of his 64-year sentence if he doesn't shut up about ending marijuana prohibition. So it's in that context that I want to address the fact that this weekend I will be speaking at my first hemp festival that's neutral on marijuana legalization. It's kind of amazing. Seattle Hemp Fest is officially neutral on I-502, the marijuana legalization measure that is on the ballot and is polling well and has lots of funding and has a really good chance of passing. Seattle Hemp Fest is neutral on this. And it's frustrating to me because I understand. I don't want to get into arguments about 502 right now, per se. But when I read these arguments and I read people saying, oh, it's zero tolerance for people under 21. Oh, it doesn't let you grow at home. Oh, it's going to have a per se DUID. Oh, it's going to impose these taxes. Oh, it's going to do this or that. And I can see why they're making these complaints. I understand where they're coming from. But all I can hear or all I can think of when I hear those complaints is Robert Platshorn sitting in a jail cell for 29 years of his life as a young man. And I think of how vicious and pernicious marijuana prohibition is in so many aspects of American society, so much of our rights and our, you know, our law enforcement and our judicial system are corrupted by this, and so many people's lives are ruined by this, that when it's been 42 years of drug war and Seattle Hemp Fest has been fighting for 21 years to do something about it, to organize people, to educate people about ending prohibition. And in the 42 years of prohibition, if you only count the congressional years, every other year, the even-numbered years, marijuana legalization has only come up for a vote 8 times in 42 years. 8 times in 5 states in 42 years. And it's never come up before in Washington state. So for the first time in 42 years, and in the first time in 21 years of all the thousands of volunteers and the speakers who travel cross country to exhort people to end marijuana prohibition, in all that time, after 21 years of hard work trying to finally get something that would be the first step in toppling the first domino to end this marijuana prohibition, the organization's neutral. Now, I understand the politics. There are people that have some serious problems with 502. There are people that would prefer a much better legalization than what is being offered. And there's serious concerns about the DUI, you know, statute that's installed here. It's certainly not scientific. I understand all that. But I can't help but feel, it can't help but sound to me like, this legalization's not good enough. Yeah, a lot of people get arrested, 42, yeah, but prohibition's not as bad as a DUI. And it makes me wonder, of the people that have been fighting for this legalization for so long, if they really perceive of it as I perceive of it. Marijuana prohibition to me, I perceive of it as one of the worst injustices, not just to mankind, but to the planet itself. I see it as this huge abomination. And so when I hear of things, you know, and there's things I don't like in bills that come up. Ryan Denham just talked about that 5 mile, you know, halo for medical marijuana patients in Arkansas. I can't grow within 5 miles of a dispensary. I think that's unnecessary. I don't like it. But would I oppose a medical marijuana bill because of it? Hell no. Would I turn to a cancer patient and say, yeah, that 5 mile thing, we don't want to set a bad precedent. You're just going to have to suffer. Well, if that's the case with medical laws, if we were able to accept warts and all the problems in the initiative that passed in Washington State in 98 to legalize medical use that had all sorts of vague, weird, contradictory language in it that didn't provide for patients to be able to access medicine that originally had a vague 60-day supply, warts and all, we could accept that because, oh God, we couldn't let a patient suffer. But now, when it's time to help the healthy people, when it's time to topple the first domino, oh, this legalization's not good enough. Oh, some people might get a DUI they might not deserve, which is happening now, by the way. People get DUIs now for cannabis that they don't deserve. People now get pulled over and get sobriety tests and get arrested and get their blood drawn and the results of that blood draw, even when it's below 5 nanograms per milliliter, become the basis of a DUI charge that sticks and causes people to lose their licenses and jobs and stuff, and maybe even do jail time, even when they were not impaired. That happens now. That exists now. People under 21 not being able to smoke, that exists now. Getting busted for passing a joint for one person or another, that exists now. Not being able to grow at home, that exists now. But you know what doesn't exist now? A store where you can buy an ounce of weed. Or even just being able to have an ounce of weed with absolutely no ticket, no punishment, no record, no nothing. I want to respect the people that say they're for legalization but just against I-502. But I wonder, you know, what is going to be good enough for you to pass? What's going to be good enough for you to support? Because we know what you've supported in the past and it hasn't even made the ballot yet. So what are you going to propose that's not only going to make the ballot, but is going to convince 50% plus one more people in Washington State to vote for it? This is the best chance, the only chance Washington State's had in 42 years of drug war to do something about it. And you want to pass over it because it's not perfect? Oh, this Seattle Hemp Fest is going to be interesting, folks. I hope you join us there this weekend. But we got to call it a day for this show. So for Cannabis Carry, Brian the Red, and Wiz Calico, and Brian Blank hanging out here, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in hour two. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.